Right, come on in, everyone. Let's get started. Let me get my screens set up. And we are going to start with today talking about the three types of restriction that are keeping you in fear of all the tasty foods. And then I'm going to go through the worksheet with all of you. Then we will do coaching, so you can get coaching on anything you want, especially if you are having trouble with once we talk about restrictions. You can do that. If you are newer and you are not part of this month's content because you're still working through No BS and stuff, don't worry. You still can do plenty of this with us. I'm going to just read the questions. You can just use simple piece of paper and a pencil. You do not need the actual worksheet because I'm going to read everything out loud. So don't worry if you're sitting here going like, I want to participate and I can't, because you absolutely can. Now that enough of you are in here, if you're wondering why I look a little weird in the face, I thought I would share this with all of you. I had a cool peel yesterday. I've been doing a series about every 2 weeks of 1 week is a cool peel, which is, it's like they burn your face, basically. That's the best way I can describe it. It smells even like singeing skin or something when it's happening. And then the second 2 weeks, I do this thing called the Morpheus, where they basically stab your face over and over and over again with a needle. That one's the one that hurts the worst, but I went to the full intensity on this one this week, and it's hurting. So my face is very red. I cannot wear makeup. So if you're wondering why, like, why are the underneath your eyes so white? Because they don't do it underneath your eyes. And I was looking in the mirror earlier and I was like, ooh. Just look rough. So, but I didn't want anybody to be like coming in going, what's wrong with you? Because I told Chris, I said, I've got that ruddy face as if like I'm an alcoholic or something, but I am not. I just trying to keep a youthful glow as best as I can. And what I have found is that in order to look young, it is very painful. So, but there's that. All right. So let us get started. We're going to talk about the three types of restrictions. So, one of the things that happens a lot when we're trying to lose weight is that we think that when we're talking about like tasty foods and good foods, we think that if we restrict them or get them out of the house, take them away, ban them forever, give them up, somehow we're going to lose weight. And it makes sense why we feel this way. I want you to just look back over the course of your entire diet history. So many diets have focused so much on the foods you eat. Now, I have this theory about it. Number one is a lot of books wouldn't get sold if they didn't come up with some kind of a unique scheme around food. Just think about, we tend to latch on to shiny objects. We love something that's like, oh, it's brand new. That's like something I've never heard, blah, blah, blah. There's nothing wrong with there being brand new things and something you've never heard and it feeling refreshing. But when it comes to losing weight, over the years, what I have noticed is there's a lot of junk science, and there have been a lot of people who come and go because they wanted to write a book that would sell. And on the back end of that, they were going to start a line of products that you could buy so that they could keep making money off of you. The unfortunate thing for all of us is that we are the walking wounded laying in the wake of just people just trying to make money off of, women and their desire to lose weight. So that is just a personal opinion. That is one that I have always thought is rings true with a lot of diets. I know of a few that were intentionally built around the idea of we'll do this, we will have supplements to make up the gaps. That will be how we will keep making money. Because a book is only going to make so much money. If y'all don't know anything about book sales, if you sell a million copies of a book, you are not even making a lot of money. You don't make money on books. You make money on speaking engagements from books. You make money on if you sell something from a book, something along those lines. But like, just know that all the authors out there are not rolling deep in cash. And I mean, it's the very few. So a lot of books are written from a business perspective of what do I need to, like, what kind of gap do I need to create in order to have a product on the other side that fills the gap? And we walk around hanging on to these food rules our entire life, all of our life. And then some, what happens, I think the biggest second thing is there will be some science that will come out at that time that we think is right. And then 20, 30 years later, it's just absolutely wrong. So raise your hand if you are someone who in the 90s did the whole no fat craze. We were all just taking fat out. And they like, I remember eating just packages of Snackwell cookies, thinking that that wasn't going to make me gain weight. Like, now I can finally eat all the Snackwells that I want. No, that like, and then we found out later, you lose your hair. It raises your risk of arthritis. It actually like is it's causing diabetes. Like it was like all these bad things. But still, how many of us still, when you go to the grocery store, like have an aversion to anything that's full fat? Still want to barely use olive oil or butter and things like that. Like where you we still kind of restrain ourselves. Even though it has been so disproven and we absolutely need fat, especially women. Fat is one of the main things that lubes your joints so that you're not half crippled walking around. So that's a couple things that happen. And then I think the third big thing that happens when it comes to like tasty foods and stuff is they're villainized. They are called junk. They are called crap foods. They are called unhealthy, stuff like that. I'm not going to sit here and debate if a Twinkie or broccoli is better for you. What I am going to debate is how helpful is it for women to be afraid of certain foods? Especially when, if we weren't afraid of them, and we were not emotionally eating them, and we really were. I want y'all to think about this concept. I was thinking about in the shower. If we really truly were foodies and we absolutely loved food, we would eat it completely different than emotional eating. Coming from, I'm eating this to make me feel better. I'm eating this to get through boredom and loneliness. If we are enraptured truly with the food, we're looking for high quality, we're going to be savoring it. We are going to be eating it like it's very special. We're going to take our time with it. We're not going to be rushing it. We are not going to just shove it in our mouth in the car. It's not going to be something that we're just choking down because we dread doing the next thing. We're trying to avoid this. We're not doing that. So it's really important for all of you to hear this message. It's never helpful to think of any foods as bad. We want to, what I call, accurately state the problem. Because if you state the problem correctly, you get the correct solutions. If you state the problem incorrectly, you get the incorrect solutions. So the true problem is it's not that this food tastes too good. It's that when I eat something I love, I sometimes, like, it's often the only break I ever get. So it would make sense why I don't want the food to end. It's not that I want to overeat tasty foods, it's that I need more rest and I don't know how to get it. Now I've got a quality problem and a quality solution. Now I know exactly what my life needs. My life doesn't need me to take away my favorite foods. My life now needs me to add in rest, rejuvenation. It needs me to add in peace. It needs me to add things to my life so that I'm not relying on this food to make up my gaps. So there are three types of restriction that we all do. And it's all in your videos for this week, or your video for this week. One is the physical restriction. This is the I'm underfeeding my body. So this often happens where the two most common ways I see it are I get busy all day and I'm calling, missing meals, eating light, eating diety during the day, which barely feeds a toddler. I'm calling that being good, which really what it truly is I'm not eating enough during the day because I'm distracted, because I think I don't have time, or because I think this is being good. So when I start eating at night, I can't stop. And when I start eating at night, I'm usually so tired from the underfueling of the day, I naturally want to eat things I love because my brain is smart. It knows I need to eat. It wants to grab what's convenient, easy, and fun. So it's going to grab my tasty foods. The second way it happens is sometimes women will do that all week long. For some reason, we have this magic about us where we can do it like basically Monday through Friday until Friday dinner, and then we lose it on the weekends. Because it's the same problem. We've underfed all week, we've restricted all week, we've pushed too hard all week. And then on the weekend, it's like our body says, I've got to make up for your shenanigans, and I'm going to do it on the weekend. The second type of restriction is the mental restriction. This often happens in no BS. It's probably one of the most prevalent ones, and it's the sneakiest, I think. This is where you are making a food plan, and you will say this, I don't understand why I keep blowing it. I've got tasty foods on my plan. I am eating them, but I'm still losing control. Now, sometimes it just takes a little bit for our brain to believe, I'm not taking these foods away anymore. I will not take these foods away from you anymore. And so your brain eats them like it always eats them until it feels safe enough to relax. But the problem is when you're eating them, mental restriction sounds like this. You're being bad. You're probably going to gain weight. You shouldn't be doing this. Your brain is still talking restrictively. So when you're eating, you're expected, like when you plan the tasty food, you're thinking you're fixing to have a damn good time. So you're like everything in you is like, all right, we're supposed to have fun. Then you start eating and you're not having fun. You're not even conscious of your brain until you listen for it, how harsh it is. So when you get to enough, your brain is like, wait a minute. We're not at enough. We didn't have enough fun. We didn't have enough enjoyment. Like, where's this like freedom that friends promising? Oh, I should eat more. Maybe if I eat more, I'll get to experience that shit. That's how mental restriction plays. The third type. Now, I'm gonna say this, it's common for everybody to have it. All three. Like, don't be sitting there going like, oh my God, Corinne, I'm all three. Something's wrong with me. Shut your face. Shut your face right now. Most people are going to be all three. Flavors of all three. All you need to do is pick one motherfucker, start working on it, get good at it, and then pick another. That's all we got to do. And the second, like whichever one you pick, it don't matter which one, just pick the one you want. When you fix that one, guess what happens to the other two? They get a lot easier to fix. Because you've already gone through the process of fixing one, which means your brain knows nothing bad's fixing to happen with the other two. The first one's always the hardest because your brain thinks this is gonna be hard, it's gonna be tough, this is gonna suck. Your brain's job is to predict doom and gloom. And it's like, your brain don't know how hard this is gonna be. Your brain is a shitty fucking future predictor. Think of all the things you've worried about over the course of your life that never happened. Your brain fucking sucks at predicting the future. So when it wants to tell you how hard this is gonna be, and it's gonna be long and drawn out, and it's gonna be miserable, and it's gonna be meh, 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 do this for me. Try it for a week or two, and then you can decide how fucking hard it is. But let us not do that ahead of time, because if you say all that shit, guess what you ain't gonna do? Try, because it's gonna be hard. So, I don't need you to believe it's going to be easy, but I don't need you to believe that it's only going to be hard. I need you to believe you don't fucking know. That's the truth. You don't know until you do it. Now, emotional restriction is the third one. This is not the sneakiest one, but I think it's the least talked about one. This is where you don't allow yourself to feel what you do feel during the day or want to feel. You're walking around life. I don't have time to feel bad about this. I don't want to feel sad about this. I don't want this. I don't like we sit and we deny ourselves an opportunity to be frustrated at times, annoyed at times, upset, just bored, whatever it is. And then sometimes we deny ourselves feeling good. We have this, I know this one, we have this irrational fear that, like, if I allow myself to be excited that I lost weight this week, that's just going to set me up to be disappointed next week. We do a lot of tamping down the very feelings that we want the most because we're so afraid that if we allow ourselves to feel good, like something bad's going to happen. I challenge you to try to feel good for a while, and then let's just see if any of your fears come true. This again is one of those things where our brains are really bad storytellers. There may be one or two occasions in your life when you felt really good about something or trusted something and the rug got ripped out from underneath you. And then now your brain correlates every positive thing that you could love, enjoy, be grateful for, whatever it is now dangerous. The best way to overcome that is to remind yourself, whatever happened in the past that may be making you afraid to feel good, you survived it. You survived it. You're here. You did just fine. Might not have been fun, but here you are. So let us not spend the rest of our life not feeling good or safe or happy or peaceful or in belief or whatever, simply because there's been some times in the past where we were hurt or it didn't work out. I don't want to continue to hurt myself and to feel bad for the rest of my life in the event I get disappointed, in the event things don't go the way I want them to go. That's just feeling bad ahead of time. I'm not saving myself anything. And I know that sounds crazy, but I promise you, sometimes the hardest thing to do is feel good. When you are not used to feeling safe and feeling good, feeling happy, even appreciated. Some of us aren't even used to feeling appreciated. We actually have people trying to appreciate us, but our self-worth is so low. We're like, they don't mean it. They're just saying that. We just brush off so much good. When you're losing weight and your partner comments and says, hey, you're looking good. And in the inside, you're saying, like, they don't mean it. They're just saying that. They have to. He just wants booty. Whatever it is, just notice how often you might be emotionally restricting yourself in life. Very often we eat tasty foods because it's the only time we allow ourselves to feel positive emotion. So you want to look for possible emotional restriction in your life. Okay. So the worksheets, the very first question is all about the physical restriction, and you just answer yes or no. One, do I eat very light during the day and then struggle more at night? Yes or no? One of the things that I want to tell y'all about under eating during the day, I know that I teach y'all to go by hunger and enough. I stand by it. Except for these times when you're trying to do hunger and enough and you notice you're just never hungry during the day, which could be false signals. It could be you're not hungry because you're not used to eating breakfast for so many years because of the way you've dieted. It could be your day starts so fast and stressful that you're not really noticing that you have hunger signals. And so you're just kind of eating like a bird all day. I would encourage you to go back to just going ahead and eating a good breakfast and a good lunch if you're noticing that no matter how hard you try, you lose control at night. You tend to really overeat at night. I have gone back to eating breakfast, eating lunch, eating a snack, and eating dinner. It wasn't because I was losing control at night. What I did notice was that my lifts were just not as strong. I was just experiencing more exhaustion than I really wanted to. And I was on HRT. I am on HRT. I'd already fixed as many things as I could. And the only thing left that I could think of that could be doing it is I'm not naturally hungry in the morning. So I wasn't eating until like 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. And I did it for years. And for years, it didn't bother me until it started to. And that's just sometimes your body just changes throughout the years. And that's not like just because you're getting older. It's just like as we age, no matter what, how we like to eat from our 20s changes in our 30s, and in our 30s to our 40s, our 40s to our 50s, it just changes. So I went back to eating, and what I noticed is I just had a lot more energy, a lot more stability, a lot less just food noise. And sometimes even the nighttime, I was wanting to eat more and knowing that I had had enough. But when I really looked at on balance for the day, maybe I hadn't. And I didn't want to get into the habit of eating a lot of food at night. I just wanted more stable energy. So I just want to say that. The other thing is sometimes the question is, do I skip meals or delay eating because I'm trying to be good? I talked about that earlier. If you call missing meals and pushing hunger to incredible levels go as good, that is a problem. It is not good. That is simply not giving your body the food it deserves. Nobody gets awards for starving themselves. That is a big, big way to make sure that when you eat at times, it is really hard to stop. If your body feels like every time you eat, it's like the only meal coming for a while, it is going to want to eat as much as it possibly can for a life preservation situation, even if you've got 200 pounds to lose. Your body doesn't think about how much weight you have on your body. It is like day to day. It's not thinking like you think. So you want to work with your body. Do I regularly feel too hungry by the end of the day? If so, add more food in. All of these are physical restriction signals. So you've got space in there to write about what your daytime eating actually looks like. So you can kind of see, does it fit any of that criteria? And if it does, and I'm having a hard time controlling myself when I eat foods I like, this could be one reason why. The next page, we go into the mental restriction. What do I say to myself while eating foods I love? For example, I shouldn't be eating this. I'll make up for it tomorrow. This is bad. I'll start over Monday. All of that are examples of mental restriction. I would suggest that if this could sound like you, or you're like, I don't know if I do that, I would eat some foods I liked this week and plan them, and then listen to how you talk about it when you plan it, and listen to how you talk about it while you eat it, and then listen to how you talk about it when you're done. That will tell you if you have mental restriction. Even if you overeat and you tell yourself, see, I knew it was the food. See, these foods are bad. See, I can't control myself. That's because you still believe that those foods are the problem. And you are not identifying what the actual problem is. In this case, it's still when I'm eating those foods, I'm not doing it from freedom. I'm doing it from mental restriction, which is what's causing me to have a free-for-all when I eat it. If you truly feel free around food, you don't want to overeat it. There's no urgency to overeat it because now you know it's coming whenever you want it. Whenever you're hungry, and when you have freedom around knowing, like when my body's hungry, it gets food, all the pressure and food noise starts coming down. Okay. It's going to ask you, do you label certain foods as bad, off limits, or dangerous? Yes or no. It'll ask you which ones. And then it'll also ask you, do I eat faster or more urgently when I eat these foods? That's another signal that when we speed up, that we could be doing it because a lot of times people will tell me, I ate really fast so I could eat it before my brain started shaming me over it, before I could feel bad about it. That again is the signal of like, oh, I've got diet rules. I've got things going on in my head around these foods. And that is what needs to be fixed. I don't need to take the foods away. We need to erase that stuff. We've got to figure out with the coaches how I'm going to practice repairing my relationship with these foods. Right problem, right solution. Wrong problem, and most of y'all are going to be sitting around, never eating anything you like, miserable, trying to fill your emotional life with, I guess what? If you're not going to fix your emotional life, you're not going to fix your diet rules. You're just going to be sitting there not eating stuff you love with all of that going on. That's not a fun life. And then the third part is the spot the emotional restriction. What feelings do I have a hard time allowing myself to feel? Tired, angry, overwhelmed, lonely, underappreciated, unappreciated, stressed. For me, I have a hard time allowing myself to feel tired and to take breaks and rest. I'm gonna tell y'all, I came downstairs at so this week I had an event at my house for 2 days. We've just had a busy week here. So whenever I have an event, of course, before the event, there's a lot of things that have to get done in order to be ready for the event. So, and then I was sick last week. Week before that, I was in a 3-day event, learning some new stuff, and just, I mean, it's been several days of stuff. Came downstairs at 11 o'clock, and I was sitting here and I was going to work on something, and I was so tired. I was just sitting like this, and Chris walked in, and I said, I just don't like, I am just exhausted. I laid down in this floor and told him to turn the lights out. And I laid in the floor for 40 minutes and just no noise. Just like let my brain drift. And I feel so much better right now. But typically, even before I did that, I felt really guilty for it because I had things I needed to do. So you need to identify what are some of the emotions that you feel guilty for feeling, that you don't allow yourself to feel, that you push aside because you're afraid if you were to feel it, you'd never recover, or you push it away because you're afraid. Like if you feel that feeling, like some of us just aren't good at dealing with how our body feels when it's having a feeling. And you haven't practiced like letting emotions actually happen in your body and do what's called witnessing emotions. If this all sounds like you, I would highly suggest you start listening to Kathy's coaching calls because Kathy's doing all of what we call the nervous system work here. Whereas sometimes we need to work on our thoughts and sometimes we need to learn how to work with our feelings. We have to relearn how to have them in a safe way. Because we may have been grown, we may have been taught growing up that certain feelings just weren't allowed, or we got in trouble for feeling certain feelings, or we've had occasions in our life when we felt something, we attached it to, then a bad thing happened, and then we now get afraid of that feeling. So I would highly suggest you attend her calls. The second question is, do I pile guilt or shame on myself for needing rest, help, or a break? Why? I do. It has a lot to do with childhood trauma and witnessing my mother working her fingers to the bone. And it wasn't safe for her to ever take time off. My mother worked around the clock all the time. And if my mother wasn't working, she was so exhausted and she was just sleeping. And so I know where a lot of mine comes from. And I work on that. I have to, like, literally, every time I want to take time off, take a break or whatever, I have to remind myself this is okay. Because the first thing I always think is, this is bad. You shouldn't be doing it. You're being lazy. If you start taking time off, you're just going to turn into a lazy slob. And I have worked for a long time on this narrative. The narrative itself has never gone away. I'm just better at responding to my narrative now. I know when I'm going to think things, I anticipate those things coming. And then I have a conversation with myself that is like nice and reasonable. I just say, like, Corinne, you're not doing anything wrong. It just feels wrong because you thought it was wrong for so long. But there's always a difference between what is wrong and what feels wrong. Taking breaks is not inherently wrong. The next question is, when I overeat, what feeling am I trying to avoid or create? This is just where we go and watch ourselves when we are overeating. And you will be able to find these things if you do one simple thing. The moment you start judging yourself, you say, look, If you want to judge yourself, you can, but not until we've discovered what this was really about. Can we just get curious about what this is about? Now, if you can't do that in the moment and you're still so focused, like your brain is still so in the loop of beating you up, don't try to think about what feeling you were trying to avoid or create in that moment. Just try to be there for yourself. Then maybe in a few hours or the next day, you go back and you just take guesses as to what was going on. The easiest way for me to figure it out is I tell the story of my day. Almost always, if I will just spend 5 minutes free writing on, okay, let me just start from the beginning yesterday. What did I do and what was I thinking about all day? And I just kind of write it like, first thing I did was I went to the bathroom. And then I changed into my workout clothes. I dreaded going to the gym, but I went anyway. I forgot about, I had a call, so I had to rush back home. I jumped right into a call, blah, blah, blah. Like I will start writing the narrative of the day and then I'll read back over it. And very often when I read through my day, it's so easy to figure out, like it is no wonder I overate. Like this triggered me and this little thing happened and I didn't even take a minute to even like breathe during this section. And when this person pissed me off, I freaked out and, tried to overwork and, try to fix it really fast without like allowing myself like 1 second to feel the shame. And then to remind myself that it was okay. I just basically agreed that I was bad by trying to fix it fast instead of taking a minute to tell myself, hey, this was a mistake, but you're not a bad person. So a lot of times when you narrative the day, you'll just see these little pockets of where like it is no, I mean, God, look at my day. And look at my judgments of myself. It's no wonder. And that will help you find probably what you're trying to avoid or what you're trying to create. Now, the good news is you don't have to figure it out yourself. If you need help, the thing that's brand new in this particular workshop that we did is I gave you some questions you can take to ask coaches. So if you go to there's an ask coaches page for every week on page 14 for this one. If you go to that page, all you have to do is copy and paste the 5 questions right into ask coaches, and then you answer them. And then that will give the coaches a great jumping off place in order to be able to help you. Also, with that, if you don't know the answers, you just say, I don't know. Could use help figuring this out. It is literally that simple. You deserve your help. You deserve to figure this out. Not simply because doing this is going to help you lose weight, but I know that it is so frustrating to want to lose weight so bad. And feel like there are just certain foods that scare you, control you, or that you just get mad because you think I can't have them. And we start feeling broken. I don't want any of you losing weight because you take foods away from yourself. I want you losing weight because you learn how to give to yourself. You learn how to figure all these underlying things out, and then your life gets better. Because if your life is better, food takes its rightful place in your life. You really do get to enjoy it. You really do get to savor it. You don't need to eat when you're not hungry. You don't need to eat past enough. Because a lot of you say, I have to eat when I'm hungry. I have to eat when I've had enough. I want it to become where I never need to eat when I'm not hungry anymore, unless it's because I have planned to eat when I'm not hungry because I know I'm going to be in a meeting because I'm so thoughtful about how I take care of myself. I no longer need to eat past enough because I've worked on so many things in my life now. I just have a life where I filled all my little holes. And now I just get to enjoy the weight loss. I get to enjoy my food. I finally get what I really wanted. I get to lose weight in a way that I want to live the rest of my life. That has always been my promise to all of you. That is why I teach this stuff, and you are not getting calories and macros and shit. You're getting these things. Okay. Let's coach. Mama. It says mama. I hope it's not my mama. I would laugh my ass off if it was my mother, but Mammy ain't coming on here to get coached. And if you need coaching, you do need to raise your hand though, y'all. Because, right. Okay. Thank you. Let's see. Well, mama, are you coming? I don't know why it's tickling the shit out of me. Let's see. If not, no, declined. Well, mama don't want to come. Angela, you're up. And Angela's the only one that wants coaching today. And as tired as Corinne is, I promise you, if y'all don't raise your hands, guess what's gonna happen? We're gonna get out good and early today. Because ain't nobody need no help. And if you don't want to get coached, but you would like to just put a question in the Q&A, you can always do that and I can just answer some questions too. All right, let's get you unmuted, Angela. And then I'll ask you to start your video. There you go.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm good.
All right,
I'm a
well, what you
little
want coaching on?
nervous.
That's okay. I take care of you.
Everything you said today kind of resonated. I switched jobs about 3 years ago, and ever since then it's just been a real struggle. I lost 50, 60 pounds and I've gained about half of it back. But it's to the point that it's affected my blood pressure and my health. And I can keep up, I try to get steps every day and move, but the food part's just hard. I mean, I just feel like every day I need ice cream and chips and dip on the seat of the car when I get in it after work. Like my old job, I felt like, I was good at it, knew how to do it. If I didn't have an answer, I could find it. Well, this one, it's just, it's kind of managing people. It's not just your own job. So, it's just every day. I never feel like I get enough done. And then I bring the computer home, eat, and then pull it back out. So it's just such a uncomfortable feeling to feel this way at this age. And, I got six little grandkids I want to enjoy. So I just don't know how to feel differently about something that I might not be able to change what that situation really is.
Well, tell me why, tell me what you feel about the job. So you said in this job you manage people.
Yeah, it's a training support job. So it's like I'm over 23 stores. So the way our system works is every invoice that gets posted gets paid. Well, we don't really check state. Well, we should check statements, but we don't. So like tons of vendors are not getting paid. So my job is to kind of fix all the problems and help with that. So the system's just very complicated. So people don't understand it. And with all the regular tasks I have on top of that, there's just not enough hours in the day times 23. I can't solve all those problems every day. And it's not that anyone's fussed at me or anything, but it's still, I feel
Well, okay,
bad
that
when
was going to
someone
be my
calls and they're
first.
not getting paid.
Right, that was what I was going to ask you. So none of your employers are fussing.
No, but they may not know there's an issue yet either.
Well, it's been 3 years.
Yes.
So they
It was kind of
probably don't think it's an issue. They probably
well,
think this is very normal.
yeah, well, it probably, I mean, it's a kind of a sloppy way to do work, which they're not intending for it to be that way because of they want to pay everything right. It's just the way the system works. If you miss posting something, it doesn't get paid. But so, there's just so much
But then
that's
why
not
do you
right.
feel bad about that? So let me just say this. You're feeling personally bad about you, about a system that your employers don't seem to want to fix. They don't feel bad
Well, because I
themselves,
should be teaching it to
but
people.
you feel bad. Why do you feel bad if they're like, you're doing a good job?
Because the vendors call me because I'm the only person you can get a hold of, and
I
I'm
mean,
supposed to be
the vendors are
coaching.
rightly pissed, but why do you feel bad personally? You know when I would feel bad, Angela? If I was on purpose not doing my job.
Right. That's
Let
true.
me just say this. I have people complain to me all the time. All the time. Somebody's login ain't working. If I have a social post that goes into somebody's feed and they don't know who I am, and Facebook or Instagram pushes them out to them, they complain to me. Why are you in my feed? I don't want to hear your shit. They yell at me and stuff. I don't feel personally bad about that because I think it's my job that if somebody's unhappy, it's just my job to fix it. But I'm not doing anything wrong, so I don't know why I would feel bad. I feel bad that they feel bad. I can be empathetic about that, but you are saying Angela's bad. I better eat some chips. I shouldn't be this way.
Yeah.
I'm
Yeah.
the
Well, I feel
default.
like
The
take a bath.
system.
Yeah. Like I come home, take a bath, eat, and then I pull out the computer and work until 11:15, to try to get more of it accomplished. Yeah. And I like, sucking the joy out of my personal time.
Yeah, that's a different animal. The first thing we have to solve is I need you to figure out that you are attacking yourself. And this is not an Angela problem. You just said to me, my bosses are happy. They don't want to fix the broken system. I know why the vendors don't get paid. The system doesn't work. And no, like if my employers don't want to fix that, I mean, have you presented to them like, hey, this is broken and here's my solution?
Well, we have, over 1,500 locations. So there, it's not quite that easy. It's a big system.
Okay, that's great. Now you have more freedom. Now it's just like there's 1,500 of these things. This is the system we have, and it's actually working exactly as they want it to work. Because that's the truth, right?
That's true.
All right, so first truth is instead of this is an Angela problem, the new thought is like you're not doing anything wrong. But you're coming at your job as if you're doing it all wrong. Instead of the truth is, this is the system we have. They like it. It may not work perfectly for the vendors, but somebody above my pay grade looks at 1,500 stores and says it's working in a way that makes this business run. Maybe there's other reasons why it's the way it is, and I just don't know what those reasons are. So here's what I'll do. Every time a vendor's upset, I'll be like, I agree. Let me get you paid. You
Just what? Take them one at a time,
Angela?
is what you're saying.
Say
Yeah.
what?
You're saying take it one at a time, just as they go.
No, I am saying stop saying this is my fault. You need to tell me why you should feel bad. You can tell me why you should personally feel so bad that it's your fault, then we will fix that. But everything you've told me doesn't point to Angela's fault.
Well, maybe I'm just not good at teaching it and coaching it to our team to figure out how to correct it on each location, because some of them just don't have the skills and, I don't know.
Okay. So do you think that that's a potential, like maybe this is one of the things I could do so that more vendors get paid. I could go and teach some of these people. Some people just need more education than others.
Right. That's true.
You and I are on the same page. There are some Nobius women that need a little bit more education than others.
Exactly.
Yes. There are some children when we have children that need a little bit more education than others.
Like
Some members need more education than others at times. Sorry.
it.
But I want you to think about it this way. Now, what you're doing is you're actually looking for the real problem. When the problem is Angela, chips and salsa fix it, overworking fixes it. When the system is the problem, and we're like, all right, well, we can't change it at a 1,500 store level. But when I look at it, I might have some people that just need more education than others. I'm probably going to have to work with them more on this so more vendors can get paid. Now we
Yes.
get a quality solution. You eating chips and overworking doesn't make them pay people better.
No.
It makes you miserable. And probably more vendors are going to not get paid because you're sitting there trying to do all their work for them. Now, that doesn't mean that for the short run, you're probably going to still have to work at night because you just seem like the kind of person who wants to do a good job. All
Yeah.
right. But in what we also have to do is now think about, all right, what are my other options here that I'm not giving myself because I'm eating? And I'm making this an Angela problem, not a, I'm really good at my job. Other people think I'm really good at my job. So why do I feel the need to eat over my job?
That's true. I'm not just not used to not having it all exactly the way I want it, and it's just not possible. And I got to just realize that.
Yeah. So when it's not exactly the way you want it, knowing that it's not possible, right now, the way you're showing up for that is probably beating yourself up so much so that you eat and overwork. What we want
That's
to
the
do,
problem.
yeah, what we want to do now is we've identified the right problem. The problem really is I beat myself up over something that's always going to happen. There's literally no fix for this being perfect.
Right.
So I need a new response to that. It can't be beating myself up because that's not fixing the problem and it's making my personal life worse. So beating
Yes.
myself up can't be the solution. So now, how do you want to show up when these things aren't going to go the way you think they should? Knowing that they're never going to go the way that you think they should. Not all the time, at least.
Right. Yeah, I need to think about that. How to, when I go do the work for someone else, I guess I need to send it to them and show them how I did it so they can learn.
Yeah.
So,
Have you
yeah.
ever, is this like a computer work thing, or do you have to, is this a manual thing? Like,
It's computer. You have to go, post it, figure it out.
do you know about an app called Loom, loom.com, LOOM?
No, I haven't heard of that.
Let me save your life. Okay. You can set up a free account. I don't even, I think it's like $10 a month or something if you want the paid version, but you can do a free version. We do it in our business. Anytime you're doing something on the computer where you really need to show someone how you did it, you Loom it. So you go into Loom and you hit record, and it records everything happening on your computer while you're talking. So you can say,
Oh,
like, all right, let me show you like how to do this. You're gonna go over here and click here, and then what I do is do this and blah blah. You're just narrating as you work, and then somebody can just watch a video of exactly how you do things.
wow. Because the only thing we've been doing is Zoom, which is hard, when the phone rings and stuff like that. That would work better.
Yes, because then they
Yeah,
just
I
get a
need to try
link
it.
and then they can watch it anytime they want. And they get to keep it. So if they need to watch it three or four times, they can watch it three or four times.
Well, that's super useful. Thank you.
We use Loom a lot. We use it for all kinds of things. It just speeds up the learning process for people. All right,
I like that.
so back to how you're going to respond to yourself. So something goes wrong that is always going to go wrong despite your best efforts. Because the thing that I'm sensing from you, Angela, is I don't get an ounce of a red flag that you are the real problem. It's like you don't sound lazy. You don't sound like somebody who doesn't care about their job. You don't even sound blamey. Like you take all the
No.
responsibility. And when somebody is the kind of person that takes too much responsibility for shit that goes wrong, that means that they're really not the problem. I'm more concerned when somebody's blaming everybody else for everything, but I don't get that from you. So that usually means that your standards are so high and you want things to be so perfect that you've now gone outside the realm of possibility.
Yeah, that's what my coworkers say.
Okay, so that's good to know because that means that we really just need for you to know that there's probably never anything going wrong in the business where you were truly the fuck up. It's really a process issue. You have no reason to beat yourself up over it because you are a perfectionist, because you are someone who over-delivers, because you are someone who takes over responsibility. People like that don't need to beat themselves up because they're just experiencing what us normal people experience all the time, which is real life. Actual things that are supposed to be happening. And so now you have to just calm yourself down in the moment and just take some breaths. It's like, this is not a moment to beat myself up over. I happen to be a perfectionist. I am someone who tends to take on too much responsibility. I have really high standards that are outside the norms. This was probably always supposed to happen. So if it's not as big of a problem as I'm making it out to be now, how do I want to handle it? What do I want to do? You'll come at it from a much calmer space. And you should see that you don't need to eat because I think you're eating because you're jacked up, not because you're so calm.
An anxious feeling, yes.
Yes. So when I say all that, how does that hit you? Like,
It
how do you
gives
feel?
me peace. About noon on Sunday, I start feeling the anxiety of, the work week starting. And I think it goes back to me just feeling like, maybe I'm not a good teacher to them, or, some people have real issues, dealing with cancer or sick kids, and here I'm badgering them to post these invoices for the third time. But it is the job and I have to do it, but
Right.
I
It
also
doesn't
have the
matter if you got
compassion to
cancer or
say,
kids. You still got to do your job if you're going to have your job. It's like, I can be
exactly.
nice and I can be, empathetic for your situation, but if you still want a paycheck, this has to happen. That's just life,
Yeah. All those seminars about, you can be nice and are you nice or are you kind? I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. So that, yeah, that's what, yeah. It does calm down the culture a lot.
Okay. Well, I want you to
I
practice
appreciate.
this week, just like noticing how often you're like when you feel anxious and when you feel those, whatever it is that you feel in those moments. I think you've used anxious. I want you to just slow down for a second, just say, like, am I making this a me problem? Let me just remember, Corinne told me that I happen to be a perfectionist and I happen to take on responsibility that's not even mine. It's probably why I'm feeling this way right now. It's probably not because there's a mistake. It's not because they're mad. It's like vendors shouldn't be mad when they don't get paid. But I'm the best person to handle it because I know how to pay invoices. In fact, I'm the best one. These other people need more help.
I appreciate that. Yeah, and I'm gonna use that. It'll make me feel better. Thank
Okay.
you.
You're
Thank you.
welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Nice seeing you.
Bye-bye. You too. All right, let's see. We have a question. What kind of self-talk do I need to use to quit comparing myself to others? I went to an event last night and was feeling pretty good about myself and my weight loss so far. Then three people showed up and it was obvious that they're doing the GLP-1 shots and lost a ton of weight. So I don't know how we know it's obvious when people do shots, y'all. And this is the weird thing. I wish that everybody would quit acting like people own the shots. Like when I'm not saying that this is what you meant, but there is a stigma around it. And I'm going to tell you, if I don't care if you're taking the shots or not, losing weight is still hard no matter what. We act like they get a free pass. They don't get a free pass. I got 2,000 members in a group. And the way they talk over there, it feels like anything but a free pass. They still got emotions. They still got to deal with shit. Plus, most of them don't feel good when they're doing it. So I just want to say that for everybody, that one thing that will help you with the comparison is to not sit and like sometimes, like if we compare, like, well, I know they're doing the shots, that makes us feel like we're doing it wrong. Or like they've got some better approach than we do. That's one way that you're comparing. It's like people lose weight all kinds of ways all the time. You've picked your horse. You know how you want to do it. Just be proud of it, no matter what it is. Own it. Because I promise everybody, no matter what you're doing, you're gonna have to work hard anyway. I know it. All right, let's see. They lost a ton of weight, so then I started feeling crappy about myself with my 6 pound weight loss. How can I stop that? First is you just have to notice when you're doing it. So good for you. You notice when you're doing it. And in the moment when it happens, you need to narrate what you're doing. So one of the things that I teach all the time is we're going to notice, which you already did. I notice I'm feeling bad. I notice I'm feeling less than. I notice I'm judging myself against other people. I notice I'm comparing myself against other people. Then we're going to narrate. Narration is where you start saying, I don't think I'm thinking that I'm not good enough in this moment. I'm thinking in this moment that they're better than me. I'm feeling less than. When you narrate what's happening, you put separation between like what, like when we're just thinking something, we just feel bad. It's like when you're not interrupting thoughts or narrating thoughts, you feel them way more intensely because they just feel like the truth. Everything your brain spouts out on the inside feels like it's just true. Your brain just says things, even though it's not true. It just says things. It will think that somebody's being ungrateful when they're being very grateful. Like just like the example of we were talking earlier with Chris. I'll use him. I cannot tell you how many times throughout the course of our marriage, well, even to this day, like I just feel like I have a flat ass. I've always had wide hips. I always had like a flat pancake butt. Just never had a juicy one. And I work at it, y'all. I work those ass muscles like you would not believe. And just a couple of weeks ago, he said, I don't know, I was bent over putting some makeup on or something, didn't have no clothes on. Comes up, he squeezes my butt, and he said something like, or exactly what he said, but something about having like I love your butt, your juicy butt, or something like that. And I immediately said, you're lying. I don't have a juicy butt. That is an example of our brains just say shit that's not true. In my mind, I was like, he doesn't know what looks good. Well, he knows what looks good to him. Who am I to say whether or not it feels like it looks good? But our brains spout shit all the time. And we just are like little fish just getting reeled in. So when we narrate what our brain is thinking, instead of just, it's just running in our head like it's the truth, when you narrate, I notice I'm thinking this. I notice I'm thinking this. Here's how I'm feeling. I notice I'm feeling, bad about my 6 pound weight loss. When you notice and you narrate it, you don't feel it as intensely. And when you don't feel it as intensely, then you can get to the pause part of it. And in the pause is where you can decide, do I want to feel this bad? Do I want to keep judging myself against them? Do I want to, in this moment, remind myself, girl, you were feeling really good until you got here. The only thing that's changed is not that they walked in and they've lost a lot of weight. The only thing that's changed is you quit telling yourself nice things. It's literally the only thing. Before you walked in here, everything you thought was felt true because you felt good about it. Those things are still true. You're just not focused on them right now. And the permission for this would be you have the permission to feel good about yourself. Despite the way you were talking to yourself, you have just as much right to feel good about your 6 pound weight loss as they feel about their weight loss. You get to be as proud as you want to be about your 6 pounds, despite how much they've lost. That is just the truth. There's no danger in you being proud of yours. There's nothing bad about you still celebrating your 6 pounds and deciding this is amazing. Like how I'm doing it. I bet they like how they're doing theirs. Isn't it great that we can all lose weight in different ways? Isn't this what being a feminist is really about? Choosing what we want for our own bodies and not having to feel like we got to fit into everybody else's? All that's available. That's how I would change it. And this is the thing for all of you have to get better at talking to yourselves. Y'all aren't good at talking back to yourself. You're really good at listening to anything your brain has to say. And just, it would just be like consulting a 5-year-old for how to do surgery. It's like, well, I really need to get some sage wisdom on how to get surgery or take care of myself. Find me a 5-year-old. I want to talk to them. I want to like really interview them hard. No. Our brains only have a very small part of it is logical. 95% of your brain does not reside on logic. So like you're going to hear about 60, you're going to have 60,000 thoughts a day. You're not going to hear the majority of them. And the 95% of them are coming from the way you always think about it because you've never given your brain a reason to think about it in any other way. So all of you need to quit believing your brain all the time. And I know it's going to say a lot of shit. Y'all say like, but my brain says like, yeah, welcome to the party. I want to know, but what did you say back? But what did you tell your brain so that you can get to the reprogramming, so that you can get to the rewiring, so that you can get to the part where your brain has new things to think next time? Because you're going to have to have a lot of new thoughts layered on top of your douchebag ones before your brain is like, hey, these thoughts feel better. And every time I send up this thought, brains are lazy. They just want to put anything you do on repeat, your brain wants to make it a habit. So if you repetitively, when my brain judges myself against other people, I come in with logic and I say new things. Your brain is going to notice you doing it over and over again. And then it will want to put that on habit. It'll say, like, okay, I don't want her to have to think so hard. So when she's comparing herself, I'm going to also send in the good thoughts because, they feel pretty good. And your brain loves dopamine. It's like, well, that feels good. I'll layer that into the habit. Then eventually your brain will get really smart and it will want to get cut. And what it will do is like, she really believes these new things now. We don't need this old stuff anymore. Then it starts letting go of the first part, but it takes time. And what I notice is y'all don't give it enough time. You give it a few days, and then you're like, well, that didn't work. Well, that didn't work. Well, that didn't work. No. There's a concept called familiarity, it's actually a marketing concept. And the familiarity concept says you will buy the thing you're most familiar with, but you won't buy the best thing. We don't always buy the best. We just buy what we're used to. And here's how I know y'all do it. Give me an emoji if you in the past did Weight Watchers at least 5 times. Signed up with Weight Watchers at least 5 times over the course of your life. Yeah, and probably most of us more than that. All right. And it never worked. And we didn't really feel better. And we didn't even like it. I mean, most of us, we didn't love Weight Watchers. We did it. We liked if it was working, but we didn't like counting points. We just didn't like all the shenanigans that went along with it. We didn't like they changed their program every year. We had 1,000 reasons why it sucked. But then every time we got into a weight crisis, we would go back because we were familiar with it. Not simply because we'd done it before, but because they have ads. Because we'd seen other people doing it. They are in our news feed. They're sending the shit at our house because they got our home address. They were just everywhere. Magazines, TV. So we kept going back to what was familiar. The same thing happens with your brain. Even if your shitty thoughts are awful and you know that they are awful, your brain is wired to keep going back to them unless you are going to be a dog with a bone about changing them. Which means it's going to take 100 times the amount of effort that you're given right now. This is not hard work. This is just consistent and relentless work. It means you can't just get off a coaching call and try it until Wednesday and throw your hands up and says it doesn't work, or try it till Thursday, forget on Thursday, and then throw your hands up that like you forgot, you can't do it, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no. The prize goes to the person who is like, the second I notice I'm not changing what I'm thinking or talking back to it when it's happening, the prize goes to the person who keeps getting back on the horse every single time they forget, every time they hear it. I've always said, if I'm gonna be exhausted at the end of the day, for God's sakes, let me be exhausted because I spent my entire day trying to talk better to myself. I don't want to go to bed exhausted anymore because I talk so bad to myself, I'm wore out. Because most of you are wore out by the own fucking conversations going on in your head. That is the, if you want more energy in your life, that is the first place to look. You don't have to change your schedule. You don't have to change how you eat. You don't need a pill for it. You don't have to sleep more. You don't have to do anything. I guarantee you, everybody in here, if they got better at how they spoke to themselves and out loud, you would have an increase of energy at least a 30% without changing one other thing. So if we're going to bed tired, let's go to bed tired because we went down swinging to be the most kind version of ourselves to ourselves. Because every single time we heard ourselves talking shit, we're like, no, ma'am, we're not going to talk like that anymore. Here's what's really true. You are learning how to talk to yourself differently. What you just said is not true, it just feels true. And we're going to get better at this. It may take time, but I will get better at this. Even if that is the first conversation you have, you don't even have the wherewithal to tell yourself nice shit yet. At least start with that. All right. Good question. Vicky? My boss is on a GLP-1 while my doctor said no. She's lost so much weight so fast, and I feel jealous because I'm still struggling. And she talks about it every day. Can you help me with new thoughts? I love her so much and want to be supportive. Then love her and be supportive. She's losing weight. That like her losing weight and you struggling is obviously not making you love her less. You can still love her. You can still be supportive. But we need you to support you while you're doing that. There's no problem with what she's doing. There's no problem with, like, we need to figure out, like, I'd spend more time, Shelly, on figuring out why am I struggling? And I'm going to take every struggle to ask coaches, and I'm going to work really hard over there because what's going to be different between you and your boss, because she is not in here, is that you're working through your struggles. All the reasons why you eat, you're going to work through those. And you're going to feel truly better. You're not just going to be high on weight loss. Now, this is not just a GLP-1. This is for everybody. There are people that when they lose weight, they can lose a lot. I did this so many times back in the day. I could lose a lot of weight and I would get high off the weight loss, but I wasn't cleaning up restriction. I still felt afraid of foods. I still mentally restricted. I still emotionally restricted. Nothing in my life was improving. But because I was so excited about the weight loss, I just didn't think about how shitty everything was. I was distracted by the diet and the weight loss. Then eventually, you get to a point where you lose so much weight that you kind of get satisfied with it. You kind of come to a normal level and it's not intoxicating anymore. Well, then all the things that you ignored are sitting there and they just keep, the volume just keeps going up on them. And eventually it's higher than the intoxication was. That's how come so many people end up regaining their weight. So if you want to hang on to something, you need to tell yourself, I'm struggling with my weight loss because I'm working on real deal shit. And I'm going to fix that shit. And I'm going to look for that shit. And I'm going to use ask coaches like I have a coach in my pocket because I do. And that means when I lose it, I get to rely on me. I will never have to worry about insurance not covering my shot anymore. Because this is the downside of the shots right now, is a lot of people get them and they're not going to take them for life. They're taking them to lose weight. And if they take them to lose weight and they don't truly change, they don't address the reasons they were eating to begin with, they don't change their relationship with food, if they don't strength train, if they don't put in all the things that I teach y'all, there's a lot of people out there who are just pumping shots in. And they're not doing any of it. They lose everything. They lose a lot of muscle. They lose bone. And the biggest thing that they lose is they lose their opportunity to build a new, true relationship with food in themselves. And the worst time, and all of us who have ever lost weight and regained it back, I have done that so many times. At least 10 times in my lifetime. The hardest time to figure out your relationship with tasty foods, to deal with your emotional shit and whatnot, is when you've already lost the weight. Because now you don't have the payoff of the scale anymore. And all the stuff that you ate over. And the old patterns around your food, like if you do a diet that you just eat shit, like I'm just like, I'm gonna eat shit until I lose it. You didn't learn how to eat the food you loved. So the second you start eating them, here's what we know is no BS women. Everything in your brain that was sitting there lights up. Oh my God, you're being bad. Oh my God, you're gonna ruin it all. Oh my God, what if this makes you get fat again? And then we lose control around those foods because we're mentally restricting now. Didn't realize we were doing it because we didn't fix all that stuff. When we introduce those foods, we have our brains have habits. If you spent your entire weight loss not eating any of the food you love, your brain stored a habit of how it eats that food. The second you reintroduce it, your brain's like, oh, let me go back to the archives. Well, you hadn't used this food in a long time. Let me go to the card catalog. Oh, I see. It pulls out the card, eat your face off. Because you're being bad, chapter one. So if we don't replace those habits around those foods you love, your brain has nothing to do but to go back to the way it was. That's why we regain weight so bad. So if it makes you feel better at all, you're the one working on your struggles. She may or may not be. She's losing weight fast. If she's losing weight fast, she may not even be doing it the right way. She may be letting herself be too hungry, which means like, or a lot of times people on the shots, there's a big phenomenon that's been go that goes on is for some of them, it takes the hunger away and they think that's good. The shots are not supposed to take the hunger away. We are supposed to be hungry. You're just supposed to have a good relationship with hunger. And if your hunger gets wiped out and you're barely eating, you're going to lose the wrong kind of weight. Period. Now, this is not to poo-poo the shots. There's a right way to do them. There's a loving way to do them. That is what we teach inside our program. But I'm telling you, every one of you do not need them. Short of a medical condition, I truly believe this as someone who lost their weight without them, who taught women for years and years and years to lose their weight without them. Do not feel bad that if you can't get it. What I would rather you do is I would rather you see, I'd rather do a shot than to figure out why I'm struggling. Because if I'm struggling, I'm probably got emotional eating going on. And I'd rather have a shot than work on the reasons why food is making up the gaps of my life. Now, I can kind of see why that would be tempting, but if we all step back for a hot second and logically look at it, it's like I'd rather get shots and be thin. Like, let's say that one of your problems is like our last person. I'm a perfectionist, and if something that's not even in my control goes wrong, I blame myself. To the point of overworking and taking on responsibility that's not mine and calling myself names. I could get a shot and lose a lot of weight and never fix that. I could lose a lot of weight and still be up all night long working, anxious, frantic, and blaming myself for shit that's not mine. Never feel like everybody tells me I do a good job, but I feel like I'm doing a terrible one. Losing weight doesn't fix that. That's why I do it this way. You deserve a better life, all of you. You deserve a better life than you're giving yourself right now. And so many of you don't have to change anything in your life but you. And we can feel so much better. Okay, let's go, Vicky. Let's unmute and we'll get your hand going. Hey, how are you?
I'm all right, Corinne. How are you?
I'm good. All right.
Awesome.
What are we gonna work on today?
Well, I was just to my surgeon in Madison, Wisconsin, and he informed me that I need to lose 100 pounds, and I can't, a year to take it a year would be too long to wait. I've got a tumor on my L3 spine, and it's eating
Okay.
away at my at that vertebrae. There's like three quarters of it gone.
Okay.
So how can I stay on program with you because I like your messages and everything and
Okay.
lose weight faster than 2 pounds a week?
So he wants you to lose weight fast. Did he say I need you to lose weight more than 2 pounds a week?
No. What he said
But he said
was
he needed you to go
waiting
ahead.
a year would be too long.
Okay, but so that does mean he wants you to lose more than 2 pounds per week.
Right.
Okay, so let's just see how much that really is. It's actually 1.92 pounds per week.
Right.
So we don't have to lose more than 2 pounds per week. You can literally lose 1.92 per week and just fine doing mine. Why do you think you can't? What do you think it is about my program that prevents you from losing 1.92 pounds per week?
Nothing, because I've been doing that.
Well, why do you need coaching then?
Because I need to find a way to lose it faster.
All right, so why do you think you're not losing 1.92 pounds per week right now?
I am.
I do not understand the problem. You are confusing the shit out of me. All right.
I'm sorry.
I'm losing at the rate I need to be perfectly, according to the doctor now. What do you need help with? You don't need to lose it faster if you're already losing 1.92 pounds per week.
Right, but it's going to take me a year to do it.
Right. He just said you have a year.
No, I don't have a year. I'm
How
sorry if
long does
I.
All right, so tell me how when did he say you need to have the 100 pounds done by?
8 or 9 months.
So 9 months. Let's do nine. Okay. Since he said 8 or 9, we're going to take the nine. How about that?
Okay.
All right, hang on. I'm going to just do the math. I like to know exactly what we're dealing with. Let's see. 100 pounds divided by 9 months is 11 divided by 4 weeks. So you need to lose 2.7. What are you losing right now per week?
2 pounds.
So we just only need to go up 3/4 of a pound.
I
That's
guess.
all
I don't know. I
you
didn't figure it out that way.
do. Well, that's how I hear it. At 2.77 would be I only need to increase by 3/4 of a pound. So if you were going, since this is, a doctor has requested this. He needs you losing faster. If you were to lose 3/4 of a pound more per week, what would you need to like? What needs to change right now that you know needs to change so that you could do that?
Possibly taking the snacks out of my day that I have
Okay.
now that I've budgeted in.
Okay. So we can remove our snacks. All right. Anything else?
Can't think of anything else.
Do you do any emotional eating still? Like
Once in a
any?
while.
Okay, so like any past enough, not hungry, anything like that?
Yes, depending on the meal. I
Okay.
try to avoid the meals that will trigger that. They're not so, I've got a lot of food that I like that I
Yeah.
don't overeat.
Okay. So here's going to be my advice. And I don't want everybody freaking out and going crazy. We have a medical emergency here. So we treat things different when we have a medical emergency because now what we're doing is this is how we prioritize her body. Like we're really listening, we're listening to the tumor. That's part of the body now. Just want to make
Okay.
sure everybody's crystal on this because I'm fixing to like throw out something different and they're going to be like, oh, it's shock and awe. Okay. So to do 2.77, I would definitely remove the snacks because that's an easy place for you. Now, you might be hungry, hungrier than you're used to being right now. So you will also need to add in, you can never shirk on your water and your sleep. To be able to lose it 2.77 a week, those have to be as like, you got to make those your job, okay?
Okay.
Rest and water, because both of those will drive your body to hang on to weight and drastically spike desire for food. And when you got to lose weight fast like this, you cannot be fucking around, okay? The other
Right.
thing. So we're going to remove our snacks and we're going to be prepared that we are used to eating snacks, that it's going to feel weird in the beginning. I might be hungrier than usual. And so I'm going to need a way to like talk to myself and settle myself. So I don't like panic or I don't like whatever might come up. The other thing is you want to be able to talk to yourself. Your brain might start saying, like, this is unfair. Shouldn't have to do this. This sucks. Like all those little things. And you have to tell your brain, look, this is very fair. I'm giving myself a fair shot at making sure this tumor gets off my back. Like, I'm just doing what it takes to take care of me. And if that means being a little hungry and missing my snacks, I'm so willing to do that. So we have to
Right, I
have
am.
a conversation. Yeah. And you'll want to have that conversation because what you don't want to do is try to do this and just let your brain just be like, this is unfair. If it just bitches all the time, you're just going to be hungry with a bitching brain and you're going to feel miserable. So it will be on you to calm it down. Okay.
Okay.
The part, which is the part where I think everybody's going to freak out on. I think it's very smart for you to stay away right now from foods that could trigger you to eat too much. But we do not want to allow your brain to think it's because those foods are bad. We are going to tell ourselves the reason why I'm doing this is because this tumor is so important that I am willing to not eat foods that are just hard for me right now. In one day, I can learn that. But right now, there is a bigger problem in the room than me having a healthy relationship with a few of the foods I love. Right now, the healthiest relationship I can have with them is to not be with them.
Right.
Okay. And you're going to
Okay.
want to consciously talk about that to yourself. You want to journal on it if you can. You really want to write this. Because what I want you to be able to do is I want you to be able to do this in a way where it feels like you are truly taking care of yourself. I don't want it to feel like the only way to do this is to strip away all my joy and suffer until I do it. Otherwise, the
Right.
second this is over, you're going to be seeking relief. And you'll go back to the eating and everything. While we're doing this, we're actually changing your relationship with food. We're just doing it in a very different way than everybody else is right now. Okay?
Okay.
How does that sound to you? Like when I say all that, like, do you have any more questions? How does that sound?
No, I don't have any other questions. I just needed help on how to get going on this 8 to 9 month program.
I think this will do it. Can you do any exercise whatsoever?
I can do like upper body.
Okay. I would just do some, like just anything to get in more mobility. Do you have like a stationary bike or anything? Are you allowed to do anything like that?
I don't have a stationary bike.
Okay. Have you ever seen, there's an, there is something, in fact, I've wanted to buy this. I'm such a gadget whore. It is unreal. But have you seen those commercials where they put this little, like, it looks like a little elliptical and you just kind of sit and you just do your little feet like that. It's for circulation and whatnot. Have you seen those things? They're like $60. I think you can get them off Amazon
Right.
and
Yeah, I've seen them.
are you allowed to even do that? I don't know much about your back.
Probably.
If so, because I've tried to get my mother ended up, I got her a recumbent bike because my mom, she has stenosis. My mom has got all kinds of problems, but stenosis being one of them, she just can't sit around all the time. Or when it comes to the spring, when she get back in her pool and do her pool exercises, last year was the first year she realized that after sitting around all winter, it was really hard. I mean, like, scared her enough to where she thought she was going to have to go back on a walker or a wheelchair.
Oh,
So,
wow.
yeah, my mom's always had bad, like, she was in a severe car accident, like, all kinds of stuff. She's just, her joint wise, my mother's a complete wreck. So, anyway, the reason why I tell you is because I was going to make her get one of them little, I don't know what those things are called, but you just kind of sit in your chair and you do it. And what it does is it pumps circulation, but it gives you some kind of movement. I might even encourage you to do that just so that your body is getting some type of, blood flow and stuff. It's just helpful. It's not gonna, as long as it doesn't hurt your back, it's not gonna hurt the process of losing the weight.
Okay.
All right. And so maybe look into one of those. I wonder, and then somebody said, do you know if your medical insurance might cover some PT? It's like some physical therapy while you're doing this.
Well, he's got me. I'm waiting for the call back. He's got me going to a bone clinic where they
Okay.
work on strengthening your bones.
Perfect. Perfect. Good. That's going to help too. Because I don't want you to just, I don't want to do everything through the lens of 2.77 pounds, but there are lots of little things like that that are so good for you, just for your health in general. But that also, I just believe that if you're moving some, like if you're working on your bones and stuff with a PT and whatnot, you will just feel better. Our bodies feel better when they move some.
Okay.
So even if it's little things, my mom also goes to a physical therapist twice a week too. I was like, Mama, start taking care of yourself. Like, she wants to live in Florida as long as she can. And I'm like, look, you can live down there, but if I have to take care of you, you're moving back. You will not be sitting in Florida. You will be sitting in Nashville, and it'll be
Yep.
cold in winter. So it's motivated her to like finally go to PT and like work on her balance issues. My mother fought. She's fell quite often because she also has deformed feet, so she's not stable. And it's like you can't be falling. Like that's she doesn't have good bones either. And so it's just like she's been doing a lot of that stuff. So I would just advise for you though to find that bone specialist. Maybe look into that little elliptical Dewey. And then just do the other things we talked about. But, I'm so sorry you
Okay.
have a tumor on your back. That can't be good. Is it hurt?
No. If I do something where I lift too much or move the wrong way, then it hurts.
Okay.
So it's not constant. Thank God.
Okay. Well, that's a godsend. So,
Yep.
well, we'll all pray for you. Keep us posted on how things go. Okay.
All right, I will do that in the group.
All right. Thank you, Vicki.
Thank you for your time, Corinne. You have a
You're
great day.
welcome. You
Bye-bye.
too. Bye. Y'all, this is why I want all of us lifting weights. Like when I tell y'all about my mother never did that. There were, I know she couldn't afford to do a lot, when we were growing up. But I use my mom as motivation. My brother and I both do as motivation to take care of ourselves now. She always says one of the things that she is so proud of is that me and my brother take care of ourselves. That she's just like, I'm so proud of the way that you two work out. Y'all really prioritize that. I never could. And then when I got to where I could, I just, she spent a lifetime not doing it. And of course, exercising to her is not fun and whatnot. And I also just want to say, I really appreciate all of you in the exercise group. I'm gonna cry when I say this. My mother has been posted. She sent me a Marco Polo the other day that she's been sharing in the Facebook group that when she works out in the little exercise group, and that it just helps her. And she says, I don't know, I just don't want to let those ladies down. And some of them cheer me on. And y'all just never know when you're helping somebody. So I don't know who is in there that's cheering Mammy on, but I really appreciate it because it really is helping her. She hates that motherfucking bike. Like the first thing she said when she got she called or she Marco Polo'd me because they had a freeze for like 3 days in Florida. So like two or three of her trees got lost, and she wanted to know if she could have them removed because she likes to use an arborist who's like a professional because there's a lot of jackasses in Florida. I'm paying for it. And she just didn't want to use my credit card and not tell me or, it'd be a shock, which I don't care, but she always does that. Anyway, she's telling me about these trees and she says, and if I'm out of breath, it's because I got off that fucking bike. I hate it. And then that's when she started telling me about how she checks in with y'all. So my mother is so funny. One of these days when she's gone, I'm gonna love all these Marco Polos because she is the funniest Marco Poloer. She just cuts it off too. Like Jane and I always say goodbye. My mother's like, do you care if I get them trees? Done. Just I'm out. So anyway, thank you though for all of you in the exercise group. I do appreciate it. Okay, let me answer the last of the questions, and then I need to get out of here because we have another call. It starts at 2. I need to go to the bathroom. And then I think it's the medical weight loss call starts at 2 o'clock for everybody. I can relate to the three types of restriction. After 50 years of dieting, I'm finally working on the physical restriction by not eating diet foods and serving tiny portions. I'm stuck on the mental restriction when I eat good foods. Sometimes I can eat what I've planned and move on. Other times I hear the voice saying I'm doing something wrong and then I just keep going. Would it be as simple as telling myself this is faulty thinking? Yes. That is, you literally have it. That is the answer. Now, that doesn't mean that the first few times you do it, that you're going to just stop eating. What it means is that you know that's happening now. So when you eat tasty foods, you want to pay attention. So like, I want to hear everything. I want to know what my brain thinks so that when I'm listening, Anything that's faulty thinking, I can say, oh, yeah, I'm unlearning that. Oh, yeah, I need to remember this is okay. My brain still thinks it's not. That's all you got to do. And then over time, you should start feeling yourself calm down. You should start noticing that it's easier to stop it enough. You should start feeling like this isn't as bad. Like you should start seeing some of that shifting over time. And then eventually it just fades out. You don't even know when it does. It's like, it's essentially, it will become like a habit to listen. It'll become a habit to talk, like to talk to it. It'll become a habit to just stop it enough anyway. And it'll all just happen without like it feeling like you won't even know when it happens. You'll just wake up one day and just be like, man, my relationship with these foods has really changed. And a lot of people say, like, I don't know when it happened. It's because it was just happening slowly over time. And that is the best way to do it. All right. I have already lost 30 pounds. Since I have lost that weight, I have maintained the same weight since 2024. Since starting NoBS, I've lost 2.6 and I'm 64, and in menopause, the scale hasn't moved under 240 in 2 years. I feel like it will never happen for me sometimes. So what we need to do is, number one, if it's not moving, like at 240, it's not menopause doing it. There's probably, you may be eating at a maintenance level for 240, but it feels like I'm doing the things. You probably just need less food. Or you like there's all kinds of places to look, and you just kind of want to examine it. Number one would be, am I actually truly hungry when I'm eating? Let's look there first. Really pay attention. Like, am I truly hungry when I'm eating, or do I sometimes just eat out of habit, whatnot? So we're just going to kind of like do a diagnostic audit. Then I'm going to pay attention to, am I actually stopping at enough, or am I just used to stopping at this amount because this is what I've been stopping at for so long? But is it really enough? Or am I more like full? Am I just past enough? Am I sometimes eating way past enough and not doing discovery worksheets? These are the diagnostics I would do. I would make sure my water and my sleep is dialed. I would make sure that I paid attention for like a week or two on the hunger side. And if I'm not, I would do a discovery worksheet and take it to Ask Coaches every single time if you really want to get off the plateau. I would pay attention to enough. I would challenge myself to eat less than I'm used to right now. Not tons less. Like, if you make a plate and you normally, let's say, I'm just using this example. Let's say you make a plate and it's this big, then three quarters. So maybe you cut out one corner. Try just doing that and see what comes up. See if maybe it is enough. You just don't like it. You're just not used to that. It brings up, you're afraid you're going to get hungry later. Like you want to see what mental drama comes up when I readjust my enoughness. And then I want to get good at knowing the difference between it truly isn't enough food because within an hour I was truly hungry with these signals. Or it was truly enough, and I got a lot of bullshit about it that I don't like because now that is what I work on. Because I'm going to be stopping it enough, and I'm going to need to get used to that, but I'm only going to get used to it if I figure out all these things I'm thinking about it. And I take all of that to Ask Coaches. The last part of the diagnostic is simple. If you are overeating at all, if it's only once or twice a week, that's why you're not losing weight. Most people drastically underestimate how much they overeat. In terms, like if we were just doing strict calories, most people, one or two extra eats is usually going to be in the form of foods they love, which are so much more calorically expensive, and it won't be a blowout meal. It won't be like you ate like a whole pizza. It'll be an extra slice of like the meat lovers, which will be 500 extra calories, 600 extra calories in one fell swoop. So a lot of times what happens is we are like, but I don't eat past enough, but just a little bit. No, we don't just dust stuff under the rug. We don't justify our overeating. We figure out why are we still doing it? Why do we still need it? Let me fix that. I want to make these things better. There's probably reasons why I'm doing it, and underneath those reasons, I get a better life when I fix it. So we don't want to keep any emotional eating. We want to solve for emotions, and then there will be plenty of room for the foods you love. But there's not plenty of room for foods we love when we are spending a lot of our time eating them to make up for gaps in our life, to create joy in our life that our life's not giving us. So those are the places I would look. And I would be really honest about those things. Because if you've got more than 10 pounds to lose, for all of you need to run those diagnostics. When you've got less than 10 pounds to lose, you still need to run those diagnostics. But sometimes when people have less than 10 pounds to lose, they're not always trying to get into the top end of their range. A lot of times they're trying to get to the bottom end of their range or something. And that often requires you might have to level up the food you're eating. But I don't like to worry about eating healthier and stuff until we at least make sure that we're doing the stuff that we need to be doing no matter what. We need to be stopping enough. We need to be waiting on our hunger. We need to be getting our sleep. We need to be getting our water. And we need, and like planning is what helps you. It's the unsung hero. Planning your day just shows you, like, it's like the trigger to pay attention to these are the things I regularly put in my body. These are the things that I don't put into my body. This makes me think about, did I stop when I ate this? Did I stop at hunger and enough? A lot of times without the planning, we don't have the proper triggers to see how am I taking care of myself? That's the way I view planning. Planning allows me to look at, here's how Corinne plans to take care of herself today. I want to make sure I plan well for that because there's only one person in the world whose job it is to take care of me, and that's me. That is nobody else's job. And planning just really helps me with that. Do you think narrating out loud helps better to hear it and make it stick better than to do it silently? I do. Like, whenever you hear something, you are probably going to make it, it's going to stick a little bit more. That's why they say be very mindful about how you talk out loud, because when you say things out loud, your brain treats it very differently. So if you kind of wanted to speed it up, saying things to yourself in the mirror, saying things out loud when you can is really helpful. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. Well, thank you, Lenny. She just told me I did a great job coaching today. Appreciate that. What a nice way to end today's call. So, all right, we will be back at 2. So come on back if you want to hear all about medical weight loss and the things that they're going through, especially for all of you who are not on the shots and you think they got it easy, come to that call. Them bitches, man, they don't talk like it's easy. They talk like it's awful. Awful. So y'all come back if you want to hear it. Otherwise, y'all are free to go about your day. Have a good one. I'll see y'all next week.